WBC, 417 medium wave, where news comes first.
Oh, look, darling. The orchestra are warming up. See? The conductor's waving his baton. Darling, shall we dance? Oh, darling, I'm so happy. I think, yes, I'm sure. They're going to be playing our tune. Oh, yes. Take me in your arms and let's dance and dance and dance.
Hello and welcome to Punchline,
otherwise known as Short on Saturday,
the programme that fills up half an hour between news bulletins with the sort of lines you could hang washing on.
Punchline, the programme described by the Sun as a rattling good yawn.
In today's edition, we'll be interviewing a man who sells fridges at Selfridges,
talking to Ralph Reader about the controversial Gang Bang show,
there'll be cabaret from the Common Market with French stars Francoise Hardy and Willis,
and Ed Boyle will be bursting in with news from Westminster.
First, the results of last week's competition. Brian London, Dionne Warwick, Judith Durham, Otis Redding, and Dick Lester. The odd one out was Irving Berlin.
And now...
Hello, I'm Quentin Delaunay Delancey, negotiations correspondent. Well, the event of the week, of course, was the war in Cyprus and the negotiations that led to a subsequent ceasefire. The power shuffle in Greek and Cypriot domestic politics have revolutionised the politique of the Eastern Mediterranean and indeed the whole structure of NATO. But what does this mean to the British working man? And what does it mean to people who never work? To answer these questions, and any you may phone in, we have as our guest in the studio retired brigadier, author, butterfly collector and accomplished tap dancer, as well as being an expert on Cyprus, Sir Basil Gunshot Wounds. Good evening, Sir Basil, and welcome to the programme.
What?
Good evening, and welcome to the programme.
Sorry. This it?
Yes, indeed. The programme is on the air now.
Oh, jolly good.
Now, you, of course, have an intimate knowledge of Cyprus, gained during a long acquaintanceship with the people and the island.
Absolutely correct. I spent well over 10 days in an air raid shelter there in 1942. I didn't see much of the actual island, but I know them well, the people there, little
but
tiny.
Brigadier, there weren't any air raids on Cyprus in 1942.
I know.
1942.
I know.
Well, so if we can come to the point, yeah, Brigadier, who or what is behind the armed conflict which we've witnessed during the past week?
Glad you asked me that. No idea.
Goodbye to the National Industrial Relations Court. Your arm was long, but your life was short. They buried you out on the Lone Prairie. Sheriff Donaldson, riding out of town into the sunset.
To celebrate the first reading of Roy Jenkins' bill to end discrimination against women in all fields, the House of Commons Entertainments Committee invited a comedienne to perform at the House of Commons canteen. We take you over to the canteen now.
Hello. We're all looking well here tonight. I say, madam, down the front there. Your stockings are wrinkled. What? Oh, it's your legs. Seriously, though. All right, settle down there. Let me tell you about me husband. Oh, I'm not saying he's a messy eater, but when I took a bundle of his old clothes to Oxfam, they thought it was a food parcel. You can always recognise me husband, though. He always talks through his nose. His mouth's worn out. I'm not saying he's dirty, but he went for a swim in Lake Windermere once and left a ring. He's not very bright, my husband. He gets it from my father-in-law. My father-in-law, he used to be a policeman till he booked a steamroller for having bald tyres. Mind you, he and mother-in-law had a terrible shock 35 years ago. My husband was born. What a husband. He'll be waiting for me with a rolling pin when I get home tonight. If he can stay awake that long. He's so boring that when he starts telling a story, even the golf is shorn. Thank you. So I'll then see you soon.
Now, Mr. Heath, can I ask you for your reaction to Dennis Healy's budget? No, Mr. Heath, your reaction to Dennis Healy's budget.
Nice little bird, but it hardly ever sings. I tell Dennis that he's not feeding it properly.
No, I think we're talking at cross purposes here. I was asking about Mr. Healy's budget, not his budgie.
His budget? Well, of course, I'm behind the cut in VAT on birdseed. What I would have liked to have seen was more relief given for the single budgier.
But, well, what do you feel about the Chancellor's position on oil, then?
He's just got to find a way to see that our little feathered friends are not going to have their wings caught up in nasty, sticky oil on the beaches. That's how I lost my parrot Neville, you know. I took him sailing with me down at Broadstairs, and he fell into an oil slick. The poor little fellow landed on my head, and it couldn't get into his wings, and it was horrible.
Kung Fu Wisdom.
I seek not to know the answers, but to understand the questions.
Grasshopper, do you know where Felixstowe is?
Isn't it a small town in Essex, Master?
No, Grasshopper.
Where is it, Master?
Felixstowe, Grasshopper, is on the end of Felix Fort.
On the end of... Sometimes I do not understand the answers either.
On Tuesday, Sir Bernard Braintank broke all previous records for the longest speech in the House of Commons by talking for some 3 hours and 16 minutes. We spoke to him, still covered in grease, after his remarkable achievement. Sir Bernard, did you go into training before this record attempt?
Yes, I did. Certainly. I started off reading a couple of telephone directories to the wife before breakfast. And then in the evening on the way home from the House of Commons, I would talk very loudly on trains.
Did you ever feel that you might not be able to beat the record?
Well, I must admit that towards the last 20 minutes, I pulled a muscle in my larynx, unfortunately. But I was able to get through to the end by speaking very softly. I did that for two reasons. First, because of the condition of my throat, and secondly, because I didn't want to wake anyone.
Well, finally, Sir Bernard, can I ask you if you have any...
Be happy, happy, happy talk.
Sir Bernard.
Talk about things you like to do.
Sir Bernard, if I
You've
could just...
You've got to have a
Sir
seat
Bernard.
If you don't have a seat.
Hello. Grace Thighsmacker here. Missed. With your exercises for today. Right. First of all, raise your right hand high in the air, stretch those fingertips right up, and bring it slowly down on your head. Then raise your left hand, stretch it up, 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 and bring it down on top of your right hand. So the two hands are firmly clasped on top of your head. Then breathe in deeply. Close your eyes and turn to face the wall. No harm will come to you. See you later this afternoon.
LBC, 417 metres. You're listening to Punchline.
I'm not mush. I'm sitting here reading the paper and minding my own business.
Over now to our court correspondent.
Well, I'm standing here now at the Royal Garden Party, which is being held this year at the Royal Garden Party Hotel. And in view of the current economic situation and the criticisms made of royal spending, both in the press and by public figures, theft has been the order of the day. Thrift has been the order of the day. The teaspoons have been attached to the tables by silver chains, and the guests have been limited to one sausage roll each of a well-known make. To make sure that people don't overstep the limit in eating, the royal corgis have been patrolling the strawberry and cream tent. As a further economy, members of other royal families have rallied round to help out with the entertainments. Prince Rainier sang and charmed many of us with his rendition of Amazing Grace. He followed this with a series of very clever card tricks. The Dutch royal family gave an exhibition of trick cycling, and the Shah of Iran has been running the tombola. Over in the corner, I can see a small group of people waiting to be taken on donkey rides by Captain Mark Phillips, while back in the main area of the party, the King of Tonga has been delighting many with his imitation of Cyril Smith. King Constantine was to have helped with the hoopla, but I see he's now got up on the platform and he's now singing If I Rule the World. And yes, I'm glad and, I'm honoured now to be able to bring to you a necessarily brief interview, one of the first ever obtained, with the Prince of Wales. Can I ask you, first of all, Prince of Wales, are you enjoying the party?
Well, boy, oh, I'm having a grand time, you know. There's a real welcome at Buckingham Palace today.
We have with us in the studio the first woman to be arrested for wearing a paramilitary uniform in public. Now, Brown Owl, can I ask you how you came to be arrested and charged with this offence?
Well, yes, I was just taking the girls for a nature ramble down Oxford Street when a couple of plainclothes mounted policemen approached us and asked us to surrender our toggles.
Do you feel that the law in this case is perhaps being enforced too rigorously?
Well, you've got to play by the rules, as Baden always said. And just remember that every girl is some chap's sister.
Are the guides very despondent in jail, then?
Oh, good heavens, no. They've already rubbed a couple of wardens together and made their escape. You know what our motto is, of course. Smash the bourgeoisie and victory to people's war.
I'm very sorry. I always understood it was be prepared.
Oh, so it is. So it is. Silly of me. Well, I must be going. Nice to have met you. And haven't I seen you somewhere before?
Well, I was a sixer in the South Cricklewood pack a number of years ago, but...
Of course you were. I'd know those knees anywhere.
Knee, it holds your shin bound to your thigh.
Time now from Carol Barnes.
Can we have your glasses, please? Hurry along now, drink up.
Now, egg on toast with our recipe for the day.
Today I've got a most interesting little dish for you from Greece. I'm going to read the recipe now, and I will read it quickly so you won't have time to write it down. Now, this little Greek dish is quite simple to make, really. You'll need some nuts, first of all, with the kernels removed, of course, and to this you add a drop of Cypress sherry, shaken, not stirred. Then you'll need a king prawn, which you should be able to find at all the best hotels in London. Take then a tiny pinch of HP sauce and a sprig of wild Kissinger. Crumble into this some anises, heat in an old-style Nuffy oven, and follow it with Turkish delight. Good night and bon appetit.
This morning, I had another talk with the German Chancellor, Herr Hitler.
Wow, it's the latest sound sensation from KTEL. 20 top speeches by Neville Chamberlain.
And here is the paper which bears his name upon it as well as mine.
It's dynamite! Peace in our time, that little piece of paper. You've read it in the library, now hear it on KTEL.
We regard the agreement signed last night and the Anglo-German naval agreement as symbolic of the desire of our two peoples never to go to war with one another again.
Wow!
LBC.
Sounds faintly familiar today, we're very privileged to welcome Antonia Wimpy, the concrete poetess and winner of the Sylvia Plath Plate at the recent poetry festival in Zagreb. Here she is with one of the two poems in her new collection, Spasm and Other Children.
If, when the branch snaps under my feet in morning time, so then, crows will fall sometime. But when the lake dipples from a dewy pond, then does Sheila wash her hair, everlastingly pouring out my brain.
Hello? Hello? This is Alfred Lord Tennyson. Do you read me?
Not very often, no.
So I said to Harold Wilson, I said, look here.
Isn't that Ramsay MacDonald coming in? Oh, Dennis, how nice to meet you. I was saying to Tony Benn, we were having a drink together, and I must...
Butler's looking fat!
Yes, the footman's put on weight as well. I wonder if they're stealing food from us. I must speak to the cook,
I'll tell you. Wonderful. Anthony Crossland. That was a broadcast political party on behalf of the Party Political Broadcast Party.
Here is the Party Political Forecast broadcast for tonight and tomorrow. There will be socialists all over the country in the morning with scattered liberals moving across toward lunchtime. Heavy fascists are expected later in the afternoon, but these will give way to moderate conservatives.
Now, Botany for Children.
Today on Botany for Children, we're going to talk about frades. Now, there's plenty of frades about, especially at this time of the year. It might well be that you've seen a frade near you. There's lots of them about, especially in the northern part of the country, and it's been a fine season for frades. I tell you what I do with them.
Whenever I feel afraid, I hold my head erect. I whistle a...
Gritty McAnorak has just led the British expedition which conquered, for the very first time, the notorious Beef Mountain. Gritty, did you have a lot of difficulties?
I would say that the approach to the north face of the Beef Mountain is pretty dodgy. It can only be approached by extremely difficult traverse of the Butter Mountain, Duncan. Due to the hot weather, this was beginning to melt, so in itself it was a dangerous crossing. We lost a couple of chaps, I think, in a gravy avalanche just above our base camp, and I myself slipped on a pea and fell into a mashed potato drift just below the summit. I was rescued, fortunately, with a huge spoon.
I see. Did you take any Sherpas with you?
Yes, but in the event we never wore them.
Gritty, how did you eventually manage to scale the mountain?
We ate it. We are putting out a book about it. It's entitled I Ate a Mountain.
And last of all, Gritty, a lot of people might think it was hazardous and unnecessary to go out and climb a mountain made of beef. Why did you do it?
Why? Because it was rare.
Did you know that Virginia Wade's measurements are 30, 15... 40-30.
And now in our sports section, a special spot for pigeon fanciers.
Oh, blonde, look at that one over there. What a smashing pair of wings.
Oh,
look at its beak, though. Oh, what a lovely beak. Wouldn't mind a pet with that, eye.
Oh, smashy, isn't it?
See the one up in the top of Nelson there? Oh, lovely.
You could see right up her feathers.
This week, amid scenes of unparalleled international diplomatic action, Brian Clough signed as manager of Leeds United. Maurice Edelman MP takes up the story for LBC. Henry Kissinger wiped a limp hand over a weary brow. Keep your hands to yourself, snapped Mrs. Mayer. It had been one of those days. First the QE2 sunk, and now this. The phone rang. Hello, Strudel, said the Secretary of State. Hey, you want to talk to me? Said a well-known voice at the other end. Ah, Brian, said Dr. Kissinger. Before you go any further, said Dougal, I'm not going to Iran, you've had that. I'm not going to live under any fascist threat. I'm going to go to Leeds. I don't care if it does mean war. Ellen Road's the only place I can earn 17 grand and work in the great cause of socialism. And you know what that means.
Say, what does this mean? First, this mysterious stranger goes through Uncle Jim's papers, and then Blackbeard shows up. And what about that letter from the Philippines? Uncle Jim seemed to think that was pretty important. So be on hand, all of you, at the same time tomorrow for another exciting episode of The Mysterious Stranger with Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
Deliveries of the comic magazine Private Eye were delayed today. Richard Ingrate, the fearless outspoken editor, said that the delay was due to the discovery that two correct statements of fact had been found in the latest issue. It was a mistake, he frankly admitted. We scrutinize each issue to make sure that nothing true had been printed, but we missed these two. Mr. Ingrate is 62.
And now, a duke at bedtime.
Where the devil are my blasted pajamas? I've looked under the pillow where I normally keep the damn things. They're up there. Also, what the devil happened to my sleeping cap? You know, the one with the pom pom.
This has been Punchline.
Written and performed by Duncan Campbell,
David Walsh,
Petra Markham,
and Andrew Nichols, who is currently compiling an index to the telephone directory.
Carol Barnes is a member of the NOC.
NOC? What's that?
Nice one, Cyril.
The engineer was Heather Phipps, who is now appearing in Sexy Sinbad Sins Again at the Tivoli Southall.
We apologise for the absence of Laurie West, but he was feeling a bit under the weather.
So that's it, until the same time next week.
With a reminder that there's more protein in the box than there is in the cornflakes.
Darling, darling, the music stopped. Darling, darling, the music stopped. Darling, the music...